Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. I'm going to read and you follow along. Or better yet, let's just stand and read this together. Got a King James Bible? You'll fit. If not, look ashamed. Let's pause at the punctuation and try to stay together as best as we can. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way. Amen. Be seated, please. Let's pray. Lord, you've been so good to us. We just bask in your mercy and we rejoice in so great a salvation. I pray, dear Lord, you'd take your word today and apply it to the needs of the hearts of the people that are here. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. May your Holy Spirit touch and deal with souls. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that's a bit of wisdom. Talk about a tremendous passage. I don't know how many times I've read that passage and how many times it just cries out to me. And in fact, that's what the verse says in chapter 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttered her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Wisdom crieth out in the streets. You know, my wife and I guess are addicted to news on television. I claim she is addicted, but I guess I've watched it long enough with her to be addicted too. We like to hear the news. We want to know what's happening. Although it's the same thing every day. They just change the names. They have so many car wrecks, so many murders, so many rapes, so many children being killed, but they just change the names. But it's news. Do you know what? That's wisdom. Crying in the streets. You know what he's telling you? It's asking the question that wisdom is asking here. How long, you simple ones, will you love your simplicity? How long, old sinner? How long, old rebellious? How long, old stubborn? How long, old stupid, will you keep on doing your own sin? That's what it's crying. It's crying every day. I didn't hear the whole Sunday school lesson because I was back studying my own sermon for this morning, but I heard enough of it to know that wisdom was crying from this pulpit right here. About there's a payday someday for what you do, good or bad. And you know, wisdom has been crying ever since this book has been read by anybody. You read this book. This is a very old book when we're talking about the book of Proverbs. Solomon, King Solomon, David's son, is the writer of the book of Proverbs. He wrote most of it or compiled it from wisdom that he knew and he found. And that's a long, long time ago that it said that if you sin, you pay for it. If you live a certain kind of life, it'll bite you. If you go ahead and do things different than what God wants you to do them, it's going to cost you somewhere down the line. How long do we have to watch some drunk fellow killing his brother. And him saying, I was drunk. I was drunk. For us to say, I don't think I want to drink anymore. Huh? How many times do you have to see some stupid nut breaking into an ice house for a six-pack of beer? And going to jail for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, after waiting around in jail down here in Bexar County for 6 months or a year to get tried, before you decide a six-pack of beer isn't worth it. How long do you have to see on the news, in the streets, out there, some gang of toughs going out and somebody gets killed or run over? How many times does wisdom have to tell you, don't drink and drive? And yet you just go ahead and drink and drive. How many times? You know what it says here? It's a very interesting passage to me. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. I've got a bunch of street preachers in this room. How many street preachers are here this morning? Let me see your hand. You preach in the streets. Amen. That's a good bunch of you. Praise the Lord. Did you know that there's wisdom crying out in the streets about the salvation of the Lord? There's wisdom crying out in the streets that sin can be forgiven, your souls can be saved, your lives can be changed. Wisdom is crying out in the streets. You may not be crying out. How many pass out tracts? Do you know there's wisdom going out at restaurants and in grocery stores and other places? If someone takes a little yellow tract or one of the hundreds of others that we have there, we pass them out by the thousands. Wisdom crieth out in the streets. How many of you go out and knock on doors during the week? All right. Amen. Wisdom is walking up and down the streets of this city, knocking on doors, saying, there is a salvation. There is a way to be saved. There is a way to escape sin. Wisdom crieth in the streets. She cries in the gates. She cries in the concourse. How many mothers and fathers do I have in the room? There's a bunch of you. How many times have mothers and fathers cried wisdom to their children? Every time they walk out. I raised five. I got five of them grown. I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. I also taught 3,000 in public school. I know a little bit about teenagers. I know a little bit about kids. And I know wisdom is crying out by school teachers, by principals, by counselors, by mothers, by fathers, by friends, by grandfathers. Wisdom's crying in the streets. She's crying all around saying, how long will you love your simplicity? Isn't that true? That's true. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth on the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she utters her words. And what is she crying? Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Throughout the religions of the world, even those that do not know the salvation of Christ, there is wisdom crying out, don't walk the sinful way. Don't walk the way of the thief. Don't walk the way of the murderer. Don't walk the way of violence. There is a morality. There is an ethics out there. And I know I was taught it all my life from the time I was very small, not only from my parents, but by Sunday school teachers and school teachers and by things around me, by those that I watched. I remember one time I was a pretty tough young man. And I remember we were up at a drive-in movie one night. And this one guy, he was maybe a year or so older than me, pretty tough guy, knife fighter. And a little boy, just a smaller guy, came up and threw a soda water on him in the night. He just let him have a big soda water. No provocation whatsoever. And then takes off running. Boy, he was fast. But this little boy got up after him. And he ran. And he chased him. And he went around a corner and he found about five guys. They put 150 stitches in him. You know what wisdom was crying at me that night? You know what I learned? Don't chase them. You know what? I learned a lesson. Wait a minute. Yes, I may be bigger than him, but I'm not bigger than five or six of them. I may be meaner than him, but I'm not meaner than five or six of them put together. Maybe I better let somebody throw a little bit on me and not take up all this offense and going out. You can learn things out there in the streets, bless your heart. You take a look down the road and you see what happens to somebody close to you, and wisdom is screaming her voice out in the street saying, don't walk that way. Do you know somebody that's messed their life up? That's wisdom crying to you. You see somebody really mess themselves up and lose? Hear about some mother's lost her children. Hear about some man, he's lost his family. That's wisdom crying out to you. Don't be stupid. Now the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe that was the main topic of the Sunday school lesson that was taught the last two Sundays. What you sow, you reap, good or bad. Well, are you wise enough to hear the voice of wisdom as it cries in the street? Are you wise enough? If you're smart enough, you'll learn something. Now, some of you aren't going to learn. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to pay the price. There's people sitting in prison right now because they didn't learn. They wouldn't listen. Wisdom cried. Wisdom prayed. Wisdom begged. But they wouldn't listen. Their mothers and daddies cried, but they wouldn't listen. Are you smart enough to listen? Are you smart enough to change the way you're doing things and try to please God? Or do you have to pay the same price they're paying? There's some of you in this room right here, you're living with the results of your sin. You know it. I know it. Most of us know it. And it's probably not any of us in this room that's excluded from that category.
That's right.
What you sow, you reap. That's wisdom. Now, are you going to learn something from the experience of others? Or do you have to learn everything yourself? You know, you're really not that smart. Some of you are smarter than others, no doubt. Oh, man, we got a range in here from some really bright people to some really dull. I'm not pointing any of you out, you understand. I'm not going to put you in a scale up here, but we got that range inside this room. And we got the range of some people who really try to please and some people who are very rebellious, very stubborn, got to have their own way all the time. And everybody sort of in between. Right in here. Are you going to learn from what happens to your neighbor and friend? Are you smart enough not to be the first guy to challenge the teacher? You ever thought about that? You know what I used to do as a teacher? The first guy that challenged me, I killed him. And you know what the rest of the people did? They said, oops, I don't want to do that. Had nice classes after that. Some smart aleck, some guy going to stand up and show he's the big toughest guy. Man, nail his hide to the wall. And all the nice people, they ain't going to touch you at all. And some of the other tough guys say, I don't want to make that mistake. Isn't that right? If you've got any wisdom at all down in your soul, you'll learn to look around you and learn something. That's what Solomon's talking about. Wisdom crieth out in the streets. Wisdom cries from the pulpits of the land. Wisdom cries from the newspapers of the land. Wisdom cries from the parents of the land and the friends of the land. Wisdom's crying, oh, you simple ones, How long will you love your simplicity? You ignorant ones, how long will you love your ignorance? It is amazing to me how many ignorant people brag on their ignorance like it was intelligence. You can listen to them. Go down to any bar tonight and boy, they'll be telling you how great they are and boy, how big they are and oh, how strong they are. And then tomorrow, go look at their house. Tomorrow, go talk to their wife. Go talk to their kids. Wisdom is crying, and it's crying for you to have a little bit of sense. Now, some of you in here that are so stubborn and so self-willed, you've decided mom and dad aren't as smart as you are. They're darn dull people. I heard something Bill Gates said one time. He said, you know how your mom and dad got so dull? Paying your bills and listening to your stupid bragging on yourself. Yeah, that's how mom and dad got dull. They didn't always be dull like it. They were like you. Maybe a whole lot smarter than you are, to tell you the truth. How long will you love simplicity? How long will you love your ignorance? It's what Solomon's talking about. And it's God speaking, and this wisdom right here is from God. Now, look at verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you said it not. All my counsel would have none of my reproofs. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Boy, that happens day by day, and you can see it happen if you open up your eyes and take a real good look. It doesn't take long to find it. God is a very merciful God. God is so long-suffering. You know why you're still walking around? Because God's long-suffering. It's not because you've been that good. I don't believe that. It's because God's been so long-suffering. I don't know how He puts up with us, but He does. He's got more patience than I have, got more long-suffering than you have. In fact, in verse 26, he says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. How about a tornado? When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Look at verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. It would be something if nobody, you didn't have a good mother or a good father that had rebuked you. There might be an excuse for you being that way. It would be something if you didn't have any education, couldn't read or write, never had a Bible placed in your hands. That might be something. Might be able to understand that. It might be if you were raised in a gang and you just simply grew up among that bunch of wolves of the streets, that maybe you could be like that. But you've had the opportunity to hear good mothers and good fathers praying over you, crying over you, advising you, rebuking you, and you don't listen. You've got a Bible in your house and you could read it, but you don't read it. You've been coming to church and preachers have been preaching to you and Sunday school teachers have been teaching you and other people have been trying to show you an example to keep you from the way of the transgressor because, believe me, the way of the transgressor is hard. You think it's easy to be a thief? No, that's the most miserable life there is. Well, they got big money one day. Oh, there's real big tough stuff one day, but what about the rest of the day? I'd rather have 60 or 70 years of just a little bit, just enough to get by, than one day or 2 days or 1 week or 1 month or 1 year of great plenty and then suffer for it the rest of your life. Wisdom's crying out in the streets, my friend, and wisdom reaches out to you. I don't know who I'm speaking to here this morning. I don't know what temptations have come your way this week. I don't know how the devil has decided to devour you, but believe me, he's devoured them younger than you. Walk out there and knock on enough doors, walk out there and talk to enough people as some of these preachers and pastors and missionaries have done, you'll find people that are absolutely miserable because they didn't listen. And believe me, you can turn down God only so long. Somebody said, oh, God will just always accept you. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says when God is willing to accept you, you better receive Him. You better not wait past a certain day. I don't know about you. I know what was in my heart on the night I got saved. I was not one of those that had not heard. I was one of those rebellious, stupid ones that was not as smart as I ought to have been because I had good parents and I had good teaching. I'd been witnessed to many times. And it came to me in this time in my life, it just like God was speaking to me. I knew that in my heart it seemed like this is your last shot, boy. I've called you, and if you want to go your way, you can. I won't ever bother you again. Now that scared me. Now I don't know, I don't have any biblical precedent for it. I didn't hear a voice, but that thought was in my mind. I've called you. Well, that's what he says here in Proverbs. He said, because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, you're going to eat the fruit of your own way. I don't know what your opportunities are today. I don't know what your temptations are this last week or this last month. I don't know where you're going with your life. And I don't know how old you are and what condition you're in. But you know what I know? I know that wisdom is crying out that the Lord's way is the best way to go. I know the Word of God has been setting that from the beginning of it, from Genesis, all the way down to Revelation. And when you get down to the end of it, there, that great merciful God, have you read the last book? That gentle, merciful Jesus is no longer gentle, merciful Jesus. When you get the book of Revelation, He is Almighty God, the absolute ruler and judge of all the earth, and He puts out the judgment. Read from chapter 4, 5, 6, up through 19 of the book of Revelation. Notice where the troubles are coming from, out of heaven. It is a record, a prophecy of the absolute judgment of God upon this earth. And it's coming. You see, right now you are in the day of grace. You know what grace is? Grace is the favor of God you don't deserve. Grace is God's mercy coming down upon you when you've done everything else besides seek it. And God in His mercy and God in His grace saves your miserable soul. Forgives your rotten sin. Puts up with your attitude and changes that attitude. The grace of God. But there comes a time. You say there's no limit to the time. Yeah, there is. What about the day of your death? That limits your time. How long are you going to live? Are you going to make 30? Maybe. You're going to make 50? Maybe. You're going to make 70? Maybe. Maybe you'll make 103 or 4. I've actually known one or two there. Not many. But my friend, you don't know when your time is. I buried some nice, healthy young people. And boy, what a shock. When that young mother just dies in childbirth. What a shock. You can't believe it. Blows your mind. You mean she only gets this many years? See, there is a limit. There's a limit that you don't know about. Not necessarily your death. It may be a limit in God's mind, on God's timetable that you don't understand. I guarantee you we don't understand the timetable of God. I don't, all of you prophetic guys studying your Bible and got all your prophecy, I studied an awful lot of prophecy and I sure got it wrong. So I doubt if I'd trust you anymore than I trusted me. You don't know the time of your opportunity. You don't know the time of the grace of God in your life. You don't know how long God will call. You don't know how long God will listen to you. Because he says right here, these people that he's talking about, they went too far. I don't know how far that was. It was too far. They went beyond the place where God would listen. He called and they refused. He called and they refused. He called and they went on their stubborn way. And finally he said, "Now then, if you call," and they will call, "I won't hear you. I won't answer you." Do you realize what that sounds like to me? That's terrible. That is desolation. That is destruction. That is a tornado hitting your house. That's a tornado tearing up your life. And there's no place for protection. There's no thing that can possibly help you. If God Almighty calls and speaks to your heart, don't you put Him off. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Pardon me. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Do you hear this verse? Pay attention to it. Listen to what it has to say. Young people, old people, do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? I've seen it happen. I've talked to people that are doing it. You're talking to them about their sin. You're talking to them about their lifestyle. You're talking to them about their attitude. And they blow you off like nothing. They blow you off like they've blown God off. And you know what they're doing? They don't realize they're in the long-suffering of God. They're in the goodness of God. And it's God's goodness and His forbearance and His long-suffering that allowed them to live up to this time and not to suffer the punishment of their sins. They think it's because of they're smarter than everybody else. They think it's because they're stronger or tougher than everybody else. They think they're somebody. He said, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The reason why God still is crying to you in the street, that is the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God, that is waiting on you, that is pleading with you, that is reaching out to you that you would repent. Because you need to repent. You need to repent of your pride. Look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith..." Now notice who's saying it. This is from God. What is God saying? "Today, if ye will hear His voice." Today, if you will hear His voice, "harden not your hearts." How many times the Spirit of God comes to us, we feel moved, we feel burdened, we think, "This I ought to do." And we say, "No, no, no, don't make a fool of yourself. No, 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 don't expose yourself. No, 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 if you surrender to God, no telling what God might make you do. He might even make you a missionary, or He might make you a preacher. No telling what He might do with you. Be careful, you don't want to surrender to God, because no telling what He'd do with your life. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. What's in your heart this morning? Faith? Belief? Or rejection? Resistance? Fear? He says today, the Holy Ghost is saying today, if you will hear my voice. Do you have ears to hear? You may be hearing my words and not hearing the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times in the book of Revelation it says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, all of us got ears. Who in the world is talking like that? If you have ears to hear, he's talking about if you've got spiritual sense enough to listen to the Holy Spirit of God when he speaks to you. Amen. God keeps crying out. Wisdom keeps crying out. The gospel keeps reaching out. And it's calling you. Calling you. My Christian friend, you know what? He says, my brethren here in Hebrews. Hey, my brethren. Brethren, don't there let there be an evil heart of unbelief in you. Oh, I know there's an evil heart of unbelief in some lost people sitting in this room today. You're lost. You're not saved. You're not willing to get saved because it might cost you something. Well, I'll tell you what, not getting saved may cost you a whole lot more. Look at another verse over in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Here's a beautiful thing that all the religions of the world cannot match. Any religion in the world will teach morality. They will teach ethics. They will give you some of the wisdom that God's crying in the streets. Don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery. Don't do a lot of things that we know to be wrong in our society. We know they do so much damage, so much harm. So many children, so many suffering, so many divorces, so many people hurt, so many people killed and stabbed and just ruined in their lives. And you can see it all around the world. It's not just Christianity that sees that. You can go to the Indians and they have their code and their way of life that lives with their society, and if you go against it, it's going to hurt you. But Christianity is crying out, there's a better way. And it's Jesus. Notice what it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. I know you think you're a beautiful flower. You're a lily. You're probably Johnson grass or tumbleweed. But that's all right. I like Johnson grass. It's tough. I like cedar trees. I know most people around Texas, they just despise the cedar, but that's the toughest thing you can get. You got anything tougher? I like toughness. Johnson grass and cedar, they'll grow anywhere. And boy, you can't hardly kill them out. Get them started in there, and I mean they're tough. They hang around. All flesh is as grass. That's you. I know you think you're the most beautiful grass around, but maybe you're not. All flesh is grass. All the glory of man as the flower of grass. Your glory. Your stupid pride. My daddy kept telling me, son, put yourself in the averages. Because sooner or later, the averages are going to catch up to you. Yeah, you might be a little better at this or a little better at that. And you might feel real good about that. But I want you to know, as the average goes down the line, it's going to catch you. He was just as right as could be. The older I get, the smarter that man was. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our Lord, word of the Lord, endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You need to be born again of incorruptible seed that lives forever. Not the seed that dies out here as the glory dies, or the flower dies, or the strength dies. Everything about this life is birth, growth, fullness, death, including you. You know what you need to do? You need to believe the gospel. That's the gospel that's preached unto you. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe that He died in your place. Believe that He shed His blood to pay for your sins. When He says He'll forgive your sins, believe He'll forgive them. Ask Him to. Trust Him to. Accept that He's done it. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. My dear friend, today, I don't know why you resist the gospel. I don't know what your reason could possibly be. I know of no good one. I know of no thing possible for you to resist accepting Christ as your Savior one day longer. In fact, the wisdom of God says, today, if you will hear His voice. The Holy Spirit walks throughout this room saying, today, if you will hear my voice. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're here without Jesus Christ today, He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. But you need to come when He calls, and you have no guarantee He'll call tomorrow. There's no promise anywhere in this book. I've read it a bunch of times. There's no promise anywhere in this book that He will ever call you again beyond today. And the truth of the matter is, I've already lived a long time, preaching the gospel a long time. But I don't have a guarantee that I'll preach it to you tonight. I have my opportunity right now. This is my day. This is my opportunity. This is my chance to be wisdom, crying in the street, crying in the gates of the concourse, reaching out to whoever will listen to me and saying, Christian, trust God, make your heart right with Him, do His will, don't get caught out there by the devil or he can devour you. And saying to you, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. Don't wait until tomorrow to be saved. Don't wait until some certain thing happens and then you're going to do it. I had a man tell me that one time. He told me, I will not die outside of Jesus Christ. Now leave me alone. But he died outside of Jesus Christ. I witnessed to him into his 80s. He finally said, I changed my mind. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, my friend. But I tell you what you have today. Because I'm a preacher of this gospel. I'm a preacher of this good news. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus Christ will save your soul and change your life today. No guarantees tomorrow. Maybe you'll live tomorrow. Maybe I'll live tomorrow. Maybe America will be around tomorrow. I don't know. We certainly don't have a guarantee. Have you listened to wisdom crying in the streets? The disasters that have taken place in the last 2 or 3 years? Have you been in this church long enough to see the disasters that have hit some of these families that are sitting right here today? Then you know today is wisdom. Today is the day of the Holy Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. And there's none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. You can be saved today. That's the promise of God. My Christian friend, you can change your life today. You can put it back on course with God. You can get it back right where it ought to be. You can say no to some of those things that you've been thinking about doing. You can change it today. We're going to sing number 249. This altar's open, whatever decision you need to make.